Hey everyone, and welcome to Combine Week of Scouting the League. The other half of this normal podcast is on site getting ready for the ITL seminar tonight. That is Neil Stratton. I am here with a guest everyone is definitely going to enjoy. But before we get there, let me remind you, make sure you like, subscribe, share this podcast wherever you are listening. Give us a five-star review, leave us some feedback on X. Love to hear what you think, what you agree with, what you disagree with. Today, I think we'll have lots of those spots where, we're going to have all sorts of opinions on everything we talked about today. But as I mentioned, Neil Stratton is on site in Indianapolis. If you are there, I highly encourage you swing by the convention center for the ITL seminar tonight, as well as the symposium tomorrow. That is a registration event. If you want to be around some scouts who hear who is getting honored in the scouting world, definitely get by there this evening. Again, one of the few opportunities scouts get recognized out in public. Again, very much an unsung job where you're on the road, you're doing your work, you're getting ready for the draft. Not many people know your names, but tonight, the 28th, there in the convention center will be the seminar. Tomorrow, last week's guest, Oscar Monnier, the transfer portal guru, will be featured. He's going to talk all things transfer portal. We hit on a little bit of it last week if you want to get a preview of that. But again, Oscar is going to dive in much deeper tomorrow. There may still be some room. I know Neil said they were getting close to full. Reach out to Neil Stratton if you would like to register for that. As always, I am Roderick David of Right Step Advising. You can find me on X at Right Step ADV. My six-year run in personnel in the NFL compares to today's guest, Greg Gabriel. Greg had over 30 years in the NFL, long runs with the Giants, Bears, spent some time with the Bills and Philly as well. Over 30 years, started his NFL venture in 1981, spent the 2020 in the XFL as well. The man is tied in. The man has done as many reports as about anyone out there. It's great to have you on, Greg. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me. It's going to be a fun day.
It's going to be fun. There is plenty going on. I mean, not just the combine this year, but everything Justin Fields and the Bears related. Obviously, a place you're tied in. But before we jump to that, what are you doing these days?
Doing a lot of work from home. I do work for some agents as far as evaluations for, like right now, I'm done with the 24 draft, and unless there's guys I just want to do for myself, but I'm already probably 50, 60 players into the 25 draft where I do evaluations for people. They send me list of names to do, and I just keep grinding away at the tape. Periodically, some teams ask me for evaluations that I do for them. And usually that's this type of the year. There's a bunch of reports I got to send to one club in particular that I'm not going to mention. And then I've got my media stuff, which is mostly my podcast here in Chicago. It's once a week called Gabriel Talks Football.
That's keeping you busy, keeps you in football. Again, for both you and I, staying involved in football, again, it's what we know and it's what we do. So again, a man with experience that is hard to rival. And so you've got the Chicago podcast. That seems to be the first domino that's going to fall, that's going to affect, again, those top picks in the draft. It's going to affect the future of Justin Fields. So let's start with the Bears. Again, going back, I was a Midwest scout for the Falcons. I was in the draft room when we selected Kyle Pitts over Justin Fields. You're around Chicago. You've had lots of takes. You're hearing lots of things. Let's start with just your opinion of Justin Fields as a quarterback before we get into the scenarios that are going to play out. What do you think of him as an NFL quarterback?
I'm probably going to be different than a lot of people you talk to, or a lot of people expect me to say. And it's really two-sided. I like Justin. I think he's got a ton of talent. But going back to the beginning of the year, after I think it was week three, I just said, I kind of threw my arms up. I said, this guy just doesn't have it. He's not going to get it done. I've been doing this for over 40 years now. So I said, you can't just do that. You got to go back and look at the tape. And I came to the conclusion, and I think I'm right on here, is that this kid has not been coached since the day he came in the league. Now he showed he when he came in 21, they wanted to Matt Nagy wanted to groom him like they did with Mahomes in Kansas City when Nagy was there as the quarterback coach. And that was let him sit. They brought in Andy Dalton. So because of that, he didn't get anywhere near the reps he probably needed or deserved during the preseason. And then after 3 weeks, when they figured out Andy Dalton couldn't play, all of a sudden he's pushed in and he's not ready to play. So he obviously had some struggles, but he got better. You could see him getting better, but at the end of the year, they switch over to a new coaching staff, whole new system. And while I believe in the system has proven through the years that it works. It's a offshoot of the Shanahan McVay system, because Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator of the last 2 years, came from Green Bay, where he was the quarterback coach. But in all honesty, at least my opinion, is he might have known the offense, but he didn't know how to implement the offense. And if you ever watch the Bears games, the play calling was atrocious. And it just, they didn't know how to use players. And on top of that, Ryan Poles came in 2 years ago. He had an older roster that was top heavy money-wise, cap-wise, with some of these veterans that weren't giving back to the team what they were getting paid. So he basically got rid of a lot of those guys. He had like 2 years in a row, tons of dead money. I think last year was over $70 million in dead cap money on the cap, only because of bad contracts from previously. So you have a stripped down team, and then last year they brought in one offensive playmaker in DJ Moore. Cole Kmet started to step up, but as far as other receivers, they weren't getting any production. So it was really, he had a two-man unit. He had Kmet and he had DJ Moore. Did he struggle at times? Yes. But he also, when you watch closely, he's a big play making it happen. He's a unique player,
Yes, he is a unique player.
and in that he can make plays with his feet. He can make the big throws. There's criticism that he holds on to the ball too long. And I don't disagree with some of those criticisms,
Yeah, definitely.
but I go back to the man hasn't been coached.
Right.
And, so do you throw away a talent like that when you really don't know what he is?
Yep.
And then you brought in a new OC this year in Shane Waldron, who really worked miracles, because I remember scouting of working for Philly when Geno Smith came out. And Geno turned out, he thought he was going in the first, he goes in the second. We brought him into Philly, had an interview with him, and it was the interview was just atrocious. I mean, he's in Chip Kelly's office and he's just playing with his phone. So, he's a guy that struggled to have a career, yet when Waldron gets hold of him 2 years ago in Seattle, this is Geno Smith I'm talking about, he turns him into a Pro Bowl player. So who's to say that can't happen with Justin Fields? Because Justin Fields has got tons more talent than Geno Smith ever thought of having.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's my feel. I just, and I'm not a big Caleb Williams fan. It's like, and it's not the talent. I appreciate the talent. If the talent's good, it's the intangibles. And you've been in the league, as well as
Yes.
I do, that the
Quarterback has
quarterback
to have it.
position, it's 50%, if not more, intangibles. There's a
Yes.
lot of Jameis Winston was a marvelous talent, but he didn't have the intangibles. And we can
Right.
go through a bunch of
Go
quarterbacks.
through a bunch of
It's the
names.
same thing. Well, I think Caleb's going to be. I think Caleb's going to be the same thing. And there's leadership issues with him, selfishness issues. So, I'm not a fan, especially for a team like Chicago, that is starting to put together a roster. And if you turn around and you trade that pick, what you're going to get back, build up the roster even better, that's the right thing to do. But I'm not the guy making the decision.
No, again, you hit on again a bunch of things that again gets quickly forgotten about when guys like Justin Fields get to this spot in their career where again they've shown flashes or they've done a little bit but not enough. Again, you start going through some of these, again, you see it at the college level all the time now, and you're starting to see it in the NFL where, X player has had five offensive coordinators in 6 years. Well, again, that I mean that's six new offenses, six new verbiages, the intangibles alone for the quarterback spot. Again, going back to Bill Walsh, number one trait for a quarterback was that leadership. Again, you can put a lot of pieces around, you can be a distributor, you can do all those things. Again, if you're not leading the offense, if you're not that dude, it is going to be really hard to ever, elevate a team and take them over the top. And again, I when I think of Justin Fields, when I see the player, again, like you said, he's a rare talent. There, from a talent standpoint, he's got all the arm strength. He make every throw. He's athletic. He goes back, and I start thinking about what the Baltimore Ravens did when they made the decision to go with Lamar Jackson. They said, we are going to change everything we do and build around Lamar Jackson. That meant a change in the offense. Lamar would not, wouldn't be as successful in a traditional pro style offense we're used to seeing in the NFL. I think Justin is closer to that. If you stick Justin on that Baltimore Ravens offense in place of Lamar, again, are you still talking a playoff team? I would be willing to say yes. Again, maybe you're not getting that same level as Lamar Jackson, a little bit different athlete, but again, guys that fit in the same way aren't going to sit back from the pocket and pick you apart from the pocket, but can make the throws, can do all the things to help an offense. And again, you start talking about the quarterbacks that, and the quarterback that's, kind of in that same boat of Caleb Williams out of USC. Again, you start talking about all those same things. Can do everything physically, running the ball, throwing the ball, making every throw. But again, is this guy going to elevate the team to a spot that, you said it, Cole Kmet. Again, you've got a bunch of really, you've got DJ Moore, then a bunch of three, four type of wide receivers. Is he going to be able to elevate this team, or is it going to be, USC pointing the finger, crying on the sidelines? Again, that is the question these teams have to figure out. And again, if you've got a team like Washington who's ready to spend, jump up, take it, or again, if the Bears are going to sit there and take him, it gives them some options. So, as we think about that Justin Fields situation, and we'll get to a third situation that you're going to mention here, but do you sit in terms of where the Bears roster is at, a huge amount of draft capital if you trade that number one pick and build around Fields? Or again, I'm seeing it maybe a second round pick for Justin Fields and draft that quarterback. What's the better thing with where the Bears roster is at? Or how about that third scenario that you want to mention?
Well, first of all, I mean, you've been in the league long enough to realize that you really don't. We're preparing for the draft, but you don't get into deep draft preparation until you get through that first week of free agency, which is, 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from today, signings are official, and 12 days from now, you can have guys agreed but not officially signed. What happens in free agency determines what you're going to do in the draft as far as taking care of needs. So, there's needs for another edge player. They traded for Montez Sweat last year, gave up their two. So right now they don't have a two. They only got five picks. They got two ones, both in the top 10, number one, number nine. They got a three. They got a four, or two fours and a five. That's it. They don't have a six and a seven. So you're not going to get a whole lot. Yeah, you're going to get good players with those two ones, but this is a good second round draft this year. And you're missing out on a lot of players there. I think you got to find a way to recoup that second round pick somehow. But anyway, free agency. At first, I didn't think they'd go after an edge, because they spent so much money on Montez Sweat when they restructured the contract, right? Within 48 hours of making the trade, they extended him. But they've got $80 million in cap money
You got some
right
money to
now. They
spend.
can go out and spend some money for, are they going to spend another 24, 25 million and get the guy from Minnesota? Well, that remains to be seen, but there's other guys you can get that are pretty good that'll upgrade the team and you don't have to spend that kind of money. So, and then you've got to get, I'm sure they're going to draft a receiver. It's a
Have
very
to.
strong receiver
Yes,
draft,
it is.
but one's not enough.
Right.
You got to get somebody in free agency. You got to get a center. They don't have a center on the roster. They got a backup center on the roster. So, and my thinking has always been, especially when you got a young quarterback. So if you got a rookie quarterback, if they end up drafting a guy, you got a rookie quarterback, or even Justin, who is still a young guy, you need a veteran center. You can't stick a young quarterback with a rookie center. That's going to be problems. So, I can see them in free agency trying to hit edge, free safety, because they cut loose Eddie Jackson for cap prop or cap reasons. An edge, a free safety, a center, and a wide receiver. Anything after that is a bonus. And then you go into the draft. So, if you listen to everybody around here, they're positive Justin Fields is getting traded. And my experience tells me that, and this is my thought process, not from anybody that's told me anything. I just know how the people work and how people talk. And you can say one thing, but you got to listen deeply because they're to what's being said between the lines.
Yes.
And I think that he's they're not saying they're trading Justin, but they're saying we want to do right by him, so we want to get this settled. So people are taking that. Well, he's going to be gone within the next couple of days. Okay. Maybe that also means the team that wants that number one pick is going to up the ante to make sure they get that
Exactly.
number
They
one
want to go
pick.
close that deal now.
And, from people I've talked to that are in Indy, that they expect something to be done before the combine's over. If that happens, I think that remains to be seen. I still think that's a little soon. But from one conversation I had, a guy said, well, there's other teams that are waiting, but the first domino that's got to fall is the Bears. And then that's going to open. And really what the Bears did last year was out of the ordinary when they did that trade on March 10th, I think it was, for trading the first round or the first overall pick to Carolina. Nothing ever gets done that early. But they ended up having so much success making that trade that I think it opened up the windows a little bit. Wait a minute, that might not be a bad idea. So let's get everything set. And we go into free agency, we already know what we're dealing with in the draft.
I mean, it's going to be an interesting week. Again, getting all the decision makers. Again, if you start moving that number one pick, you're going to have an owner involved in some way, some manner. You're going to have to get the final thumbs up from that owner. But again, you're probably talking in the Washington situation, as they seem to be the likely team that would jump up and maybe grab that number one pick. You've got a new owner who's probably, given that group, hey, if we can go get number one, make it happen. On the, in the Bears situation, you now have, you've got Ryan Poles, who, his it may need to go back and get a final, thumbs up on it. But again, the deal could certainly get done this week, done in principle this week. Again, you get those guys, together in person, really helps move things along. So it'll be interesting to see where it all goes. Again, with Justin going back, and again, the rumor, again, Atlanta seems to be, if he's going to get moved, Atlanta seems to be the number one spot. Again, born and raised down here, was at Georgia originally. We had a number of conversations in Atlanta during that draft. Again, the upside and the lack of questions on Kyle Pitts was really the deal breaker, with Arthur Smith coming in as the new offensive coordinator. It was it seemed at the time to be a no-brainer. Now, you can say whatever you want about Arthur underutilizing Kyle Pitts, what happened with the quarterback, the roster, all those kinds of things. Kyle Pitts is still a really, really good player, really highly rated player who's still got a ton of upside, but Justin was a guy in consideration. There were lots of conversations about him, lots of work done about, just if Justin were to get traded to the Falcons, are they the favorite in the NFC South, do you think?
I don't know if I can answer that because I don't know the NFC South well enough to really make that sort of prediction. Tampa Bay's got a pretty decent roster. If they bring back Mayfield, it's the second year there. And if they can hold on to some of their other free agents like the wide receiver Evans. They're going to be a team that you got to contend with because they're going to play good defense.
Yep.
As far as the others, I think it remains to be seen on that. As well as I do, this league changes so much year to year
Yeah,
where a
absolutely.
team that you think is going to be totally out of it, not have a chance, all of a sudden rises to the top real quickly. And
Yep.
part of it's luck, part of it, they stay injury free and they get on a hot run and get momentum working for them. But I think we gotta, get through free agency, get through the draft, see what happens with Atlanta.
Yep.
And if they do make that trade, then what else do they get
Yeah,
to help Justin Fields?
yeah, it's an interesting one that the Falcons were so close in so many games, and Desmond Ridder, another guy I scouted who I was not a fan of as a starting NFL quarterback. Again, definitely not the answer. I think that's been said by Coach Morris and Terry Fontenot at several times at this point. But again, you think about Tampa again, Baker Mayfield, who you're starting to think about maybe being the guy long term in Tampa. We'll see what happens in free agency for him. But again, certainly would add a fun dynamic to that NFC South, is what was a really strong quarterback, group and division just a couple years ago, is really has a bunch of question marks down there. So staying on quarterbacks, 2024 guys, can you kind of already hit on Caleb Williams? Again, not the biggest fan. Talent, yes, we can talent's there. That's going to be on display. Highlights, all that kind of stuff. Who's the guy out of the group that you like the most, that you are a big fan of?
I haven't settled on a number two. In fact, a guy asked me that last night. And I said, the guy, and this might surprise you, it may not, but there's some people I talk to that are really high on this guy. And the more tape I watch, I can see it. So I'm giving a kind of a long answer where a short one is needed, but JJ McCarthy.
All right.
And the reason being is, well, one former coordinator and quarterback coach who knows JJ very well. And he said to me, he goes, I think he's got the ability to be the best quarterback in this draft. He said, notice problem is played in an offense that was run by an offensive line coach who called plays like an offensive line coach.
Yeah.
He goes, if you put him in a real offense, he'd light it up. But at the same time, he ran that offense really well. I mean, 15 and 0 and getting a natty is 15 and 0 and winning a natty.
Can't argue.
Extremely, extremely bright. The intangibles that Caleb is missing, this kid has.
Yes.
And so, and he's a local kid. That can be good and bad. I
Right.
mean, same thing with Caleb in DC, that could be good and bad.
Yep.
Is there going to be too much pressure on him playing in front of the home crowd? But I think JJ has risen to the occasion. I really like the way Daniels came on this past year. His deep ball is excellent. He's obviously got the arm strength. I like the offense that LSU ran last year. It didn't hurt that he has two first round picks to throw to. because I, you know, not
that always
personally,
helps.
I think Neighbors is the best receiver in the draft. No disrespect towards Marvin Harrison. I just think Neighbors, there's things that Neighbors does better, and one of which is run after the catch. His run after the catch is just rare,
yes,
as far as I'm concerned, and his ability to separate. So when you watch tape, and I don't know how much tape you've done on Neighbors, but when you
oh,
see
yeah.
him get separation, he's not getting separation by a yard or two. He's getting
no,
separation like by 3 and 4 yards.
Yeah,
And you see it play after play after play.
Yeah, he is hard to cover. And again, that initial 2 to 3 yard burst out of breaks, out of contact. Again, he is he's an easy guy to throw the football to, certainly.
But anyway, and then, you know, I like May. And actually, the same person that knows JJ knows May very well. He said he comes from a great family. He's a great kid himself, very smart. You know, I think, you know, Caleb tailed off the last half of the year. I think May tailed off a little bit too, the last half of the year. Now, in fairness, he didn't have the supporting cast that some of these other guys had, but some of the throws you saw make early, the decisions he made early, you weren't seeing the last few ball games for whatever reason. Is he going to have a bright future? Yeah, I think so.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, I think you got a chance with any of those four. And we all know that no two boards are alike. I could have JJ number two. Somebody else could have Daniels number two. Somebody could have Caleb number two and Daniels number one.
Yep.
You know, all boards are different.
Uh-huh.
So, but it's what you want out of the position and you know, what you're expecting from the player, and does he fit what you want? And then you're going to go with that, because I don't think there's a huge difference in talent. There's, you know, to me, like we've already said, gets back to the intangibles.
Right.
And the guy, and you can use Brock Purdy as an example. I mean, he's the last damn guy taken in the draft who's already been in a Pro Bowl.
Yep.
And it's because his intangibles are off the charts.
Yeah. Yeah. From a talent standpoint, again, he's in a different category than the three guys we just mentioned, but those rare level intangibles for a guy like Brock Purdy, certainly. You know, it's interesting. So the JJ McCarthy one is one I've struggled. He's probably my quarterback four right now, five maybe even. I don't love the traits. To me, I have struggled because I see a lot of Desmond Ritter's game in him. Longer throwing motion, again, run heavy offense, really relied on that defense. Again, you can say offensive coordinator, offensive line, all those kinds of things. But again, the intangibles for JJ, and this is I talking to people that know the intangibles are at least very good, if not in that excellent and rare category. And you saw that. You saw it in the unselfishness and the way they played when it mattered, without head coach at the end of the year, all the way through, you know, the title game. So again, you start talking about the elevation of everybody around you. JJ certainly fits that category. Again, I struggle with JJ when he stood in the pocket. Again, he's not a guy that I'm gonna love in the pocket, but he's also a different kind of athlete. He is more of that straight line slicing runner than is a guy that is going to be real shifty, making guys miss, that real short area quickness. So I've really struggled with McCarthy as a you know, two, you know, second ranked quarterback. Again, there's a bunch of people that have him top 10, you know, top 15. Again, in the right situation with the right team, you know, any of these guys can be successful. Like you said, with a guy like Jaden Daniels, again, you said it, how does a team want to use these guys? Again, Jaden Daniels, you better have a plan for him and not just plug him into, you know, standard NFL offense. Again, Jaden Daniels is a special, rare talent. Again, a guy that reminds me a lot of Justin Fields when he came out, in terms of what he could do, some of the throws that he wouldn't pull the trigger on, but again, could elongate plays so much, rare with his legs, make a ton of plays, which really fun, special athlete that has all the arm talent to take those steps to be the dude. So again, Jaden's got to be a guy that has to have there's got to be a plan for them, right? And again, that's you can say that for any of these guys, but in terms of offense, what you're putting down, what you're lining up and running, it's going to be a little bit extra for him. And then Drake May, again, being a guy that what I liked about Drake May was his hype train at the end of the 2023 season, going back before last year, he built some momentum in the offseason, but he seemed to stay steady. Again, where Caleb Williams, it was every other week there was a headline about, again, what he was going to be demanding, what he was going to ask him for. Again, some of these other guys that are top guys that, the hype just gets to them. Drake May just seemed consistent, even, and steady throughout the process, throughout the year. Never heard from him, just consistent play, consistent person week in and week out. I think that, again, you start talking about those intangible traits. That's what you need, the consistency every single week from these guys, which I think Drake May is absolutely going to give you, and has the talent to be, he's got first round talent in terms of his traits on the field with the way he plays as well. So that's kind of a 1 through 4. Where would you put guys like Mike Penix and Bo Nix in this group?
I'm not as big on Penix. Part of it's age, part of it's the injuries, and I like him. I mean, but I know some people that know the kid, and when we talk intangibles, he's got a ton. He's a very, very strong leader. I don't like his throwing motion, and maybe it's just that he's a lefty, but it seems too long for me. And well, you can get away with that in college, with the tight windows you have in the NFL, that long throwing motion can cause you to throw interceptions. So that's going to have to be fixed. And in my experience, when you try to fix a guy's throwing motion, is it usually turns into failure, only because they always revert back. You know, it's got to become second nature, and the way he's been throwing the ball now
For a
is the way he's
long
been throwing the
time.
ball all his life. So, but hey, would I take him if I had get a quarterback in the right situation? Absolutely. Nix, you know, I go back to when he was at Auburn and I didn't like him, and then he goes to Oregon and he becomes a lot better player. But I'll say this about him: there's another guy, strong leader, strong football character, and he's a winner and ultra competitive. And guys like that find a way to be, and the same with Penix, they find a way to be winners when they get to the NFL. Are they going to win you Super Bowl? Well, you know, that remains to be seen. But, you know, you got to have a whole team to win a Super Bowl. It's not just the quarterback.
Those two guys have been really interesting because it seems like gone up, and now it's really quieted on them. Again, I remember I was a no on Penix for the longest time. I remember they at Indiana in, 2020, maybe they were pushing him. They were wanting to promote him. Again, this guy's the future, and some of the smallest, skinniest ankles, really slight frame. Again, you mentioned some of the catastrophic injuries he had there. Again, I am not a left-handed quarterback guy. That's always, again, it just doesn't quite look right. But again, what he did the last 2 years at Washington, again, I think he is a talent in the way he throws the football. He seems to have some ball placement that maybe is even better than some of these other guys.
I
Maybe
can't argue with you there.
needs to throw with some touch at times. Again, he fits it in some tight, hard windows. And again, can make some really, really off. The way he can whip the ball out from off schedule positions across his body is different than the rest of this group. I think he's got some just different type of arm talent. And then again, Bo Nix, again, everybody remembers it at Auburn. I remember seeing, I went down to a Kentucky versus Auburn game when he was there, and again, it looked like backyard football. Again, run around, make some fun plays, but couldn't consistently move an offense. Has grown, obviously, the intangibles, all the things that he was able to do at Oregon, elevating that program, getting that program right where Coach Lanning wants it for the future. Again, it's going to be a really fun group. How many quarterbacks do you think ultimately go in the first round come April?
Four.
Four. You're a four guy. So I think a fifth ends up getting taken. I'm a five quarterback guy in the first round.
Okay. And that's fair. I want to say one thing too, going back to Drake May, is that, and of all these guys, he might be the safest guy. And a lot of which is the way you explained it. You know, you might not necessarily love him, but he does everything well.
Yes.
And, you know, and so, you know, where everybody else you could pick apart a little bit, and but there's things, certain things that jump out where he's just kind of level all the way across. So, you know, whoever gets him, they're going to have a good football player.
Yeah,
no absolutely. Question.
Every one of these guys is going to be a good football player, and every one of these guys, again, there's going to be there on paper, there's going to be a plan for every one of these guys. That's always one of the, you know, as scouts, we used to talk about it. Again, we talk about all our plans. Well, we're going to bring Bo Nix in. We're going to sit him for 2 years and then we can take over. Well, you know, Justin Fields. Yeah. 3 games into Andy Dalton. That was the plan. And all right, now the plan's blown up. So again, there's got to be full organizational buy-in, understanding of what these guys are, who they are, and what the plan is. And then you have to stick to the plan. Again, that is one of the hardest things that head coaches, GMs, coordinators, if you have a plan, if you're sitting there and you're ready to draft, you know, let's say Drake May or Jaden Daniels, and you say, hey, we feel like we need to sit this guy year one, whatever our quarterback situation is in front of them. If we want this guy to be our future quarter, we have to sit him year one, you have to stick with that plan. And then, you know, having conversations, seeing it firsthand, that is one of the spots that I think teams have the hardest time sticking to the plan, because everybody loves their new shiny toy. And sometimes the owner calls and says, hey, it's time to make a change. And well, that can be hard to say.
Yeah, there's a lot of things almost out of control of the front office or the head coach.
Yeah.
And stuff that we'll never hear about. But, you know, you can go back to when you say sticking to the plan. Okay, what two teams stuck to the plan and had success by doing that? Kansas City with Mahomes.
Yep.
Plan was to sit him for a year behind Smith, let him learn, and then we're going to play him year two.
Yep.
And the same thing with Love up in Green Bay.
Yep. And you could say that with Aaron Rodgers
behind
back
Aaron
in the
Rodgers
day as well. Yeah.
And then, you know, when he's ready to play, when we're ready to move on from Rodgers, we're going to let him come in. And the same thing happened to Rodgers. Rodgers sat for 3 years.
Yep.
And they become, because they learned so much when they were sitting. I always say to myself, would Patrick Mahomes be Patrick Mahomes if Andy Reid wasn't with him?
No.
Because I am a big, big, huge Andy Reid fan.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to say, no, he wouldn't be nearly as good. That's the marriage between those two. It's not just Mahomes by himself.
Yes. It is important. And why anybody that's trying to separate the Brady and Belichick, to me, it's the same thing. Even though they were on different sides of the ball, it was a vision and a culture that those two together created. And again, same thing for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And again, it matters. Absolutely, it matters. So I want to ask you about two more quarterbacks, ultra talented, ultra underachievers, Joe Milton and Spencer Rattler. What do you think when you're evaluating quarterbacks and you see guys like this, how do you process that? Because the talent is, Joe Milton may have more talent than any of the guys we've already talked about in terms of our talent, standing there in the pocket, in shorts, making every throw. Spencer Rattler, again, throws an absolutely fantastic, beautiful football. It's really textbook, but couldn't win, can't see the field, consistent turnovers. How do you reconcile these two guys as you're going into a draft?
I can't say I know enough about both to really be definitive. I like Rattler better than the flashes that from what I understand, he showed pretty good down in Mobile. He's a smart kid. He can ad lib, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
Milton, I think, he's got physical talent, but his lack of play time to me is an issue. And, you know, I go back, yeah, I'm old school, I'll admit that. And you got to have snaps. And does he have enough snaps to really be ready? And he was over, you know, he's overaged.
Yeah.
He's, you know, so is he ever going to be what you think he could be?
Yeah.
But I got to be fair and say, I haven't done enough work on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Both these guys, again, if you just wanted to stand there, again, down at the Senior Bowl, if you just watch Joe Milton throw a football, again, it is fun to watch. It is just nice to watch. And again, same thing for Spencer Rattler. It is pretty to watch a football come out of his hand. But again, there's going to be guys that have such high traits, again, in terms of their, you know, their traits, their arm strength, all the stuff that scouts are grading. But again, at the end of the day, they are going to slide down, you know, probably get drafted mid to late day three, be a backup, be a third with the new rules that the, you know, NFL has, allow them to be, you know, kind of stay around the roster and see if they can ever figure it out. So are there some other guys from the 2024 draft that you really like, really excited about? Again, obviously you mentioned Malik Nabers is kind of your wide receiver one. Who else do you like? Who else are you excited about?
I think the wide receiver group is exceptional.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, DJ's got 10 in his top 50. Now, that might be stretching a little bit because it's easy to overgrade wide receivers.
Yeah.
But, and you know, I got Nabers first, but I'm not slighting Marvin Harrison in the slightest. And the difference is, you know, when you put on tape an all-catch reel and you do guys back-to-back-to-back, and when I was working with Chicago with Jerry Angelo, we used to do that. We used to make what we called profile tapes. And, you know, there might be 200 plays on a profile tape, you know, for each player. And we'd sit down with the coaching staff. So it'd be like, if we're doing wide receivers, it'd be the coordinator, the head coach, the wide receiver coach, Jerry and I. And we'd spend an afternoon watching these profile tapes. And when you do it back to back to back like that, you can separate guys. It becomes pretty easy to separate.
Yeah.
You can see the differences in their game.
Yep.
And where, you know, if you want a guy who can go up and get it, make the contested catch, make the difficult catch with a huge catch radius, all those types of things, that's Marvin Harrison. Okay, what I don't see from Marvin is consistent ability to get separation, as say, you know, a guy like Nabers. And I think his run after is very average.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you watch it, it's like he gets what's there, but he doesn't make people miss. I'm still waiting for him to make somebody miss.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, you know, Adunze would be next, and I'm not sure Adunze might even be a little better than Marvin too, because Adunze's got, you know, he's got return ability, and so that translates with the run after catch. I mean, they're all good. They're all going to be really good pro receivers.
Yep.
They're all going to go in the top 10. I think teams are going to have each one rated differently.
Yep.
And it's going to be, you know, people are going to say I'm being blasphemous because they don't have Harrison first, but you know, hey, I go on what I see and what I think. And I see Nabers, and the more I watch Nabers, and I see the separation he gets and that run after that explosive burst. I go, damn, there's not too many guys in the league who can do that.
Yeah, no, with Nabers, it really looks different, consistent. He almost plays at a different speed. It's, I mean, that 1-2-3 group right there, it's almost fun with that group too, because like you said, they all do it a little bit differently. They're asked to do a little bit different thing. So again, you start thinking about what does a team need? What does a team want? What does the offensive coordinator want? Again, that may dictate who you're stacking where. Again, any team that gets any of those guys is going to be able to plug them in wherever they want. and be really successful. It's going to be,
Absolutely.
fun for each of those guys. What about outside of that wide receiver group? Any guys that you just maybe under the radar guys that you like, guys that just really continue to stick out for you?
Because I'm in Chicago, I kind of concentrate on the guy, need positions here.
Yep.
And so, and one is edge. And the edge group as a whole, I had a lot of hope for going into the season. And then I don't think they played as well as I thought they would coming off of last year. I can give you one name. Well, I thought going into the year was a potential first round pick, and that's Braylon Price from Washington.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at 22 tape, and he was really good. And then 23, I think it was like four games in before he got a sack. You know, and now granted, teams are scheming to stop him, and he came on the second half of the season. He's got, but I don't think he's a first round pick anymore.
Right.
He's going to play in the league, and he's going to be a good player in the league. But you know, he's not in that group. The guy I really like at that position, got to pass the damn medical, is Latu, from UCLA.
From UCLA,
I mean, he's like the only guy that really jumped up from that top group and improved off of the 22 season going into 23 and put up like 14 and a half sacks in the 23 season. But you know, he had the catastrophic injury up in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of look at it this way. I know when I was working here in Chicago, and I know that, you know, their medical group's the same now as it was when I was there. And I know how the orthopedic people think, but a lot of time they put a lot into what has he done since he had a surgery?
Yep. Yep.
Has he missed time? Has he missed practice time? Has he missed games? And in the case of Leitu, no, he hasn't. He's played. Right. He's practiced. You know, he's been fine. There's been no issues. But he had a serious surgery. I can't find for the life of me exactly what the surgery was. Maybe you know.
I don't know.
It was something with his neck. It might have been just he had a fusion done.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guys playing with their neck being fused.
Yep.
It's what was the surgery. And it's going to get down to, I think today he's getting the orthopedic exam. Might have been yesterday. And, you know, are we ever going to find out the if he did good or he, flunked? Well, reality is that teams are going to say he's good to go. And there's going to be teams that say, no, we got to red flag him.
Yep.
And that because medical grades are just like scouting grades.
Yep, they are.
They're all over the place. They're very, very subjective. So, but I would not surprise me that sometime over the next week, it's leaked out that Leitu passed the medical. He's good to go.
Yep.
And you know that's going to be one team told his agent that he was good.
Yep.
And so the agent's going to put that out like 32 teams. You know, and because we see it every year.
Every year.
And you know, it's never true. There's going to be a group of teams that are going to have a problem with it.
Yep, absolutely. And it's, you know, it is, as we both know, it only takes one to pass him and draft him in the first round. And, you know,
there's
going
to
be 31 DQs. But again, it only takes one with every player. So, again, that edge group, again, you talk about, kind of the Drake May conversation. For me, it was Jared Verse, right? Kind of in that group, consistent, steady, heavy-handed Jesse that helped that Florida State roster. Again, he's again one of those edge rushers that, I thought was, liked him coming in, maybe didn't blow it out this year, but I thought, man, his tape was as consistent as any of those edges. And again, you plug him in, again, is he maybe can he get to 20? But again, he's going to be right there in that 14 to 17 sacks just about every year. Scheme versed, you're going to love him on the field, and he's just going to bring he just seemed like a lunch pail kind of guy for me.
I'm a Verse fan for here in Chicago. To me, he's Montez Sweat.
Yep.
You want two of the same, or do you want something
Right.
different on the other side?
Yep. Yeah. I
I'm
can
not
definitely.
taking away from his talent. He's talented. There's a one game I was watching, and I saw some. I think it was the Florida game, and he's coming off the edge, and he didn't have that lean that I like to see an edge rusher have, and he took like three extra steps. He
Yep.
still gets the pressure, and I'm thinking, is that something I missed before? So then I went back and watched more tape, and really that just happened to be that play.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to take those extra steps, but it was concerning the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
But good player. And probably when you look at, the overall game, set the edge, defend the run, rush the passer, he's pretty darn good.
Yeah, he's pretty darn good. That's
I think Dallas Turner is going to be a pretty good NFL player.
Yep.
I don't think he's as good as his teammate from last year. He may run better
Yep.
than Anderson did, but I don't think he's going to be as good, but he's going to be a good player in the league. And the guy that I think is the, if you want to call him a sleeper, got super talent, he's a young kid, is Chop Robinson.
Yep.
And I don't know if you've done much on Chop.
Yep.
I think he's got unlimited talent.
Yeah. Yeah, it's another one of those guys that's coming out of there that's got all the talent and just, going to be a matter of time for him to put it together. And but again, talk about traits, and again, that's what we're grading. And some of these guys are going to get drafted for what they've done, and some of these guys are going to get drafted for the traits and what those traits say that they can do at the next level. And it'll be a nice mix for these guys, but a bunch of really good players. I'm excited about Dylan Johnson, the running back out of Washington. Again, I really like his game. I think he's a ready three down NFL back. Again, he's not going to be a premier guy, but does everything well. Again, some of the toughness he showed trying to battle it through in that in the playoffs. I again really liked the toughness that he tried to, again, playing on a busted up foot and a thigh that's ugly and all that kind of stuff. But Dylan Johnson's a guy I'm excited about. Also, sticking on the D line, Michael Hall out of Ohio State, when he's starting, kicking down to some of those interior pass rushers. Have you had a chance to watch Michael Hall?
No, I mean I've done a little, but I don't know enough to, give you an educated response. Again, I look at when I start concentrating on guys, I'm leaning more because I use them in my podcast for here on the need positions, and they took defensive tackles in the second and third round last year. Both of them played well. They extended a guy they signed in free agency last year, so it's not a huge
Yeah,
need,
certainly.
where the edge position is a huge need.
Yeah. What about again, offensive tackle? Is that a position need for the Bears?
Some people may say so. I don't think so. They drafted right last year, played really well. Braxton Jones, and I don't know if you know much about
Yep.
Braxton.
I
He struggled some as a rookie, and his main problem was his anchor.
Yep.
But when you look at the, and I'm a trait guy, I admit that. You look at the traits, his numbers are as good as any tackle ever coming out. I mean, he's 6'5" and a half. He's got 35-inch arms. He's strong. He was strong in the upper body. He wasn't what he needed to be in the lower body. And he struggled with his anchor as a rookie. But you look at his background. He didn't go to Ohio State. He didn't go to Penn State. He went to Southern Utah,
Southern Utah.
which is probably one of the worst FCS programs in the country. What did he get there? He's behind everybody else when he comes into the league. Yet, as a rookie, he played every snap. And he got better with his anchor last year. I think he's just starting to hit stride. And the athleticism, when you see him out in space, the athleticism's rare.
Yeah, it's he was fun. I did a bunch of work on him as he was coming out. And again, like you said, that anchor, his lower half scared me to death watching him. But again, it became that, all right, well, again, you look at the program and you look at what he can do. Again, the lower half was ugly. He really struggled to anchor. But again, you start putting some of those length traits and some of his movement traits, and it's like, all right, this guy's, it may take a year or two, but again, this guy's going to be a starting offensive tackle in the NFL for, you know, if he figures out if and for guys like that, the mental, if the mental allows him to take those steps, which is again where the where scouts really make their money on guys like Braxton Jones, is the traits are there. Does the off field, does the character, do his intangibles match that he's going to get the most out of the traits that he has been given? Again, a guy,
well, that's what he's got. He's got excellent football character. He stayed in town during the off season, before the off-season program, and he seeked out Olin Kruch, who's, for my money, one of the best centers that ever played the game.
Absolutely.
And Olin trains people. He's a high school offensive line coach at a good program, and he also, you know, trains specializing in, he's got his own gym, offensive lineman. And Braxton trained with Olin, and, you know, Olin's got a big thumbs up on him. And, you know, anything, if Olin says he's good to go, because, you know, I worked with Olin for 9 years, 10 years, and he's a rare person.
Yep.
One of the strongest leaders I've ever been around, if not the strongest. And, I mean, I don't know if you knew much about Olin, but it was Olin's locker room.
Yes.
He owned
I've
it.
Heard some stories.
And,
if Olin puts his signature, if he puts his name on you, that it means something. Absolutely means something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I got no problems with that. I do like the tackle class, but I haven't done as much on it. Obviously the Notre Dame kid, the genes, his dad played for a long time.
Yep.
Fashanu, I like, but I don't think either one as a pure athlete, I'd be interested to see what the numbers are at the end of the week. As a pure athlete, is the athlete that Braxton is.
Right. I'm with you there. I am much lower on Joe Alt than the consensus. Good player. Again, I don't think he's the athlete that, you know, most of these left tackles have to be.
He's, I don't know if it's fair to say, maybe a little mechanical.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was a tight end. I do work for the East-West game, and I didn't mention that at the beginning. You know, I do evaluations for them, and I'm on their board of advisors. And so I went to a bunch of Notre Dame games. So it was his true freshman year. Probably saw them live 5 times. And, you know, he started off the season, he's a tight end. He's 265 pounds, but they didn't have a left tackle. They had an injury.
Yep.
And they put a bunch of different people in there. Could get a, finally, you know, he was gaining weight. He got up to about 280, 285. They put him at left tackle as a true midway through his true freshman year. It was like, holy shit, this guy's pretty good, you know? And I think he's got the athleticism, but he's gotten big. Now he's like, you know, 320. You know, and he might not, I agree, he might not be the athlete some of the others are. But I'm not sure Fashanu is a elite athlete.
Right.
He's good.
Yep.
But I don't know if he's in that elite category.
Yeah.
You know, I watched a kid from Washington. Now, he's got some pretty damn good athleticism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good tackle group. One of the guys that, again, he's been kind of flying under the radar, but I think ends up one of the better ones of the group is the Nathan Thomas kid out of Louisiana. Again, you start talking about slightly smaller school program, but again, the traits really jumped out when I watched him. Again,
yeah, I agree with that. I did him for people during the year, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about one guy, because I don't like him, and there's a lot of people that do. And that's the big, and I can't think of his name, the big kid from University of Houston.
Oh, the Patrick, is it Patrick Paul?
The big tall kid.
Yeah, the left tackle. Yeah, I have, again, another one of these guys that I probably haven't gotten my consensus down on him yet, because again, some of the things, mechanical, again, the fluid, not a fluid athlete out there, which again, he's got all the traits, all the length. And I was really excited about him coming into the year, but again, you start talking about last year to this year improvement. And again, I thought I saw a lot of the same player. And again, it just as a scout, all right, I've got all these questions in my notebook. I'm ready to ask now when I go on my school visit, when I sit down with the kid. Again, why was your 2022 tape basically the same as your 2023 tape? Or why, again, where's the improvement? You look like you're just kind of checking the boxes out there. Again, doing your job, that's fine. But again, it's not just about doing your job. If you want to be a first round pick, or again, for him, the consensus number one tackle for a long time, again, it's just got to look different. And that was my hang up with him, was it just never was comfortable watching him. I was always wanting something more, something a little different, something smoother, something more fluid in his game. And that's probably really my tie up with him.
My big tie-up with him is he can't bend his knees.
Plays tall. Yeah, absolutely.
He and you can get away with it in college. You aren't getting away with it. Not at left tackle. You're not
No.
getting away with it in the NFL. And so I can't see him playing on the left side in the NFL. He's just got no bend. I think he's tight in the ankles, tight in the knees. And you see it in his stance. And I think that is going to hurt him. Could he end up being an adequate starter? Yeah, probably. There's work, but is he going to be as good as, well, we don't know where he's getting drafted yet. That remains to be seen. But is he going to be as good as what his reputation is right now? And I don't think so.
Right. Yeah, he's one of those guys. And again, if you're drafting a guy day one, day two, top three rounds, in 2 to 3 years, you better not be looking to upgrade that position. And again, with Paul, he almost feels like that guy. You draft him again, maybe in the second or third round, but in 2 or 3 years, you're like, all right, we got to upgrade this position. You need to be thinking about extending that player. This guy has got to be a cornerstone of our personnel group. He's got to be a future, whatever our team name is, and not wanting to upgrade. Again, you think that top three round grade, again, that's you shouldn't be looking to upgrade that position anytime soon through the draft. So
If you
it's
already
still,
made a mistake with your pick, I mean, it's
yeah,
real simple.
absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, have to mention again, I'm going to go with a Division III guy out of Wisconsin Platteville, Justin Blazek. Not sure if you've had a chance to watch him.
No,
He
I
would be,
haven't.
he is a guy that I think if the Senior Bowl and some of these games hadn't invited underclassmen, he's a perfect Quinn Meinerz, Ben Bartsch, come down to the Senior Bowl and prove it guy. Again, he looked different on that defense. He was getting two, three guys every snap. A guy that I'm excited about. And then a guy right in your backyard there near Chicago, James Ester out of Northern Illinois, interior guy, guy that I'm excited about. Again, I love D-line. A good defensive line is going to create a ton of problems for offensive. So two guys really under the radar that I'm excited about seeing through the process here. Well, Greg, man, this was fun. You're on pretty active on Twitter and X, right? At G Gabe Football.
Yes, sir.
Good. And where
And
your
sometimes a king
podcast?
size a-hole, but that's all right.
Well, that's what it's all about, right? Again, people can hide behind the Twitter sphere, and they won't have watched film, but they'll tell you where players should go, right?
That's right.
That's right.
They got all the answers, but they don't know what a football player looks
Yeah,
like.
exactly. And then you said you have another podcast. When does that come out? Where can people find that one?
It's called Gabriel Talks Football. Football, it's on the Barroom Network that has a series of podcasts here in Chicago. And it's on YouTube and it's on all your different podcast platforms. We do it Monday or Tuesday of each week.
Perfect.
This
Well,
week we did it yesterday, and we almost went 2 hours yesterday, an hour and 50 minutes. Next week it'll be Monday. 2 weeks from now, I got, wake up Monday morning. The first thing I always do Monday morning is look for Peter King's article. And because I've known Peter, Peter was a beat writer in the mid 80s when I was with the Giants. And he was with Newsday on Long Island that I don't even think exists anymore. But I got to know Peter well. So as soon as I saw that, I'm going to say a couple hours later, I sent him a text and said, hey, now that you're retired and got nothing to do, you want to come on my podcast for a half hour? And he said, absolutely. So he's coming on in 2 weeks. And I never expected to get a guest the quality of a Peter King.
Yep.
But I think it'll be an interesting show.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be that he is certainly seen as much or more than just about anybody out there. So definitely check out Greg Gabriel's podcast again at G Gabe Football on X. Of course, I am at Right Step ADV on Twitter. Greg's great to have you on. Hopefully we get some comments. Hopefully we get some people telling us how wrong we are, because again, those are usually the fun ones to jab back on. But make sure, again, when you get done listening to this podcast, you check out agentlive360.com. If you are an agent, if you are a marketing rep, if you are anybody that has athletes out there, make sure you check out agentlive360. Sign up for a demo, go to agentlive360.com to do that. I will hop on, show you a demo of the software, walk you through the whole thing. Maybe we can talk some football. Again, you can tell me to my face on a Zoom call how wrong I am about some of my opinions, but that'll be all part of the fun. So, Greg, great to have you on. Appreciate you being on. Appreciate you giving the insight. And I'll be looking for you breaking the news on Justin, on the Bears, and anything that's happening with those quarterbacks.
Well, we'll see what happens. I'm not so sure it's going to happen as quick as many people think, but we have no control over that. So we'll see.
We'll see. We will talk. We will hear rumors. We will hear fake rumors, and we will hear rumors that don't make any sense. But again, we'll just keep our eyes on the film. We will keep doing our work as scouts, and we will keep on scouting.